Welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series Marriage Plus. And now with the word, here's Brother John.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Start right at the beginning. It's a very good place to start. I want you to just get a picture with me of the days of creation. God speaking a word and bringing into existence all that He had in His heart. He spoke and said, "Let there be." And what He spoke came into existence. Verse 26, you have His creation of man. Let's read it together. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea." Man is essentially a unit. Although God made male and female is the image of God. You don't have the image of God just in maleness. Maleness without femaleness is the incomplete expression of the image of God. And that's why you understand that Jesus is unfilled except by His body. Now that might really, you know, sort of rock you for a little bit. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 that the church is the fullness of Jesus. The fullness of Him that fills all in all. Jesus is incomplete without His body, without His bride. In the same way, God's design is that His image is not just expressed in maleness, but in male and femaleness. It's a them. God made man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, verse 27 says, He created them. That's man. That's the expression of the image of God. And there's a lot of exciting things that we could say as an outflow of that, which I'm not going to get into because, I'm just going to leave it there. God, verse 28, blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God goes on. Now, in chapter 2, you have another look at creation. And whereas the first chapter was sequential picture of God's creation, in chapter 2 you have a picture of creation with man at the center. Everything centers around man. And in chapter 1, you have in the explanation in the picture of God creating, He creates everything and then He says it's good. It's good. Behold, everything was good. Was good. And only when He comes to creating man in maleness alone does He say it's not good. Let's read verse 7 of chapter 2. "The Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Then God plants the garden for Eden, and He places man in the garden, and He gives him dominion. He declares to him that all of the fruit is for him. And then verse 15, it says again, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." And then God commissions him, and He says, "You can eat of all the fruit, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat," verse 17, "for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good." "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." So guess what God did? He made the animals. I mean, you need to see the picture. We forget the sequence. God said, "I need to get a helper for man." So He made the animals. And the Bible says He brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. And whatever man Adam called them, that was their name. You know what God was waiting to hear is when Adam said, "This is it. This will do it." But all the animals came and Adam said, "No, none of them will do," gave them different names, but none of them was the binding name of acceptance, of receiving, of recognizing the intrinsic part of who man is. Let's read it together and you'll see it. Out of the ground, verse 19, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them, excuse me, to the man to see what he would call them. God didn't say, you call it this and call it. He says, Adam, I want to see how you will identify them. But none of the animals did Adam identify as his helpmeet. Well, I'm glad. I'd hate to be married to an elephant. Brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. And the man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But listen to this. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. The animals don't cut it. So, if you think your dog is adequate, your dog ain't adequate. If you think your cats can comfort you, your cats can't comfort you. The animals won't do it. What was God to do? Because none of them did Adam take to himself and accept as part of himself. So verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man and he slept. Then he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man, and all heaven held their breath. You got to see this. God didn't tell Adam what he should do about the animals. He gave him the freedom to respond to his creation. And God gave Adam not only the freedom, but then the authority that whatever Adam called the animals, that was it. And so God makes this woman. And he doesn't know what Adam is going to do. And so he brings the woman to Adam, and all heaven waits to see what will Adam do. Adam can either receive her or reject her. He rejected the animals as a helpmeet, and all heaven waits. What is Adam going to say? And woo! Adam received her. He said, literally in the Hebrew, this is it. The Hebrew beginning of it is beautiful. He says, this is it. This is it. God, you don't have to bring me any more animals. You don't have to try any more creation. You've hit it on the nail. This is it. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And Adam called her woman. God didn't call her woman. It says, this is Adam. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. My brother and sister, if you ever get a hold of this, it is going to transform your marriage, and some of you have already got a hold of it. But I want you to see something. God has designed that His image can only be perfectly expressed in the unity of man and woman. And like Paul says in Ephesians 5, he knows it's a mystery and he doesn't fully comprehend it. And he says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. Nevertheless, every man ought to love his wife as his own self, as though she were the very essence of his being. And you know what we do? We are like an imaginary picture of Adam waking up. And there stands Eve in front of Adam, and Adam says, God, pretty good. Not bad at all. But God, there, you know, some of the things just aren't quite according to my specifications. So if you'll give me about 40 years, I'll change her into a perfect helpmate. You know what? That would have blown the whole thing. Everything hinged on unconditional acceptance on the part of Adam. If Adam had in any degree rejected Eve at that point, what was God to do? I don't know. I don't know either. But I'm so glad that Adam received. But you see, what we do is this. God gives me my help meet, and I say, God, she's pretty good. But give me about 10 years, and I'll sort her out. And then we wonder why our marriages are miserable. If I want to tell you something, the image of God is only released in a relationship where unconditional acceptance is right up front in the relationship. If there are any conditions on you receiving your wife, you will never know the fulfillment of the image of God in your marriage. You will always be frustrated. You will always be searching for more. You will always be dissatisfied. You will always be focusing in what's wrong with your wife, unless right up front you say, God, as she is, I unconditionally receive her as your covenant gift to me to help me to develop and discover the image of God in this union. When God showed me that truth, we'd been married 5 years or so. And I suddenly realized we'd never been married before God. Because the whole marriage was based on rejection up to that point. I rejected Bev, Bev rejected me. We fought, we opposed. We looked at the things in one another that God had actually designed into the relationship to help us to perfectly express the image of God. And we rejected the very things that God had designed into one another to make us complete. Bev is very forthright. I'm diplomatic. What is God like? He's diplomatic and forthright. He is straightforward, but he's merciful. I rejected Bev's forthrightness, and she rejected my diplomacy as weakness. In fact, she told me one time, and I'm sure she won't mind me because it's all behind us. She said to me one time when we were in one of our big arguments, she says, I despise you. You're so weak. You know why? Because she was comparing me against her father. And her expectations of what I should be like was like her daddy and like she was. But I wasn't like her daddy. And I wasn't according to her expectation. I was what God had designed to bring into Bev's life to enable Bev to change from being so blunt and forthright and hurtful to others. Because Bev, I'm not judging her. Because Bev would just say what she thought, and it didn't matter who it offended. She believed in total honesty, and it was offensive. And it used to embarrass me. I wanted to crawl under the table. You know, I've got to confess to you, it got to a point where I didn't want to go out with Bev to our friends because I knew that she'd say something that would embarrass me so much, I'd want to crawl under the table. And Bev looked at me and saw my weakness because I couldn't be forthright. I couldn't be honest. I'd rather keep a friendship than tell it like it is. See? And what was God wanting to do was wanting to make Bev more diplomatic and make me more forthright. And the only way that those opposites in each other could become a covenant combination perfectly expressing the image of God was by our receiving one another. Woo! This gets exciting, folks. Because the very thing that you've rejected in your mate is the very thing that God designed into her to transform you into His image along with her. And until you recognize that and receive God's will in your mate, you're going to come up against a brick wall all the time and be frustrated and be miserable. And you'll wonder why you're not growing spiritually and why you're not getting on into Jesus. Because you'll never get on into Jesus while you're rejecting the very relationship that He has given to you that expresses Himself perfectly in male and femaleness. You can take it further. You can take it into your children, and I'm going to apply it a little bit more later there. Can I tell you a little secret? God did not give you your children for you to mold them into your image. Does that shock you? Do you know what we spend our lives doing? Making our kids into our image. Can I tell you a little secret? When I discovered it, it was so exciting. Do you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18? He called a little child and set them in the midst. Then he says, okay, now I want to tell you a little secret. Whosoever receiveth one such child in my name receives me. Can I tell you the corollary of that is true? Whoever rejects one such child is rejecting me. You know what we've done? Jesus has come into our homes in the form of a little child, and we've said, God, you goofed. I mean, just look at this mess of a child. Well, I've got a hard task trying to change this child now into the perfection that I expect for it. And so we set about changing it. No, 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 no. Because in rejecting that child, you're rejecting Jesus. And Jesus coming into your home to change you. Boy, I love the story that Peter Lord tells about what happened in his family. And some of you might have heard the story. His son was into drugs, was in trouble with the police. And it was such an embarrassment to him that, yeah, he is a preacher, and I mean, you know, and yes, his son was on drugs and everything. And he was praying and praying and praying for God to change his son, and nothing was happening. One day he was having his quiet time, and he read the passage in the Psalms, Moab is my washpot, over Edom I have cast my shoe. And I mean, he just glossed through that because he thought, there's no spiritual meat in that. I mean, what can you get out of Moab is my washpot, over Edom I have cast my shoe? So he read through it, and the Holy Spirit said, go back and read that verse. And he said, okay. And he looked at it and he thought, what on earth could God say to me through a verse like that? So he said, I decided to begin studying about Moab. And he said, you know what I discovered? That Moab was kin to Israel. And Moab was situated right on the borders of Israel. And whenever Israel got a little bit dirty, God used Moab to wash them up. Moab is my washpot. And God said, Peter, I have placed that son in your home to cleanse you. He is my washpot to change you and make you what I want you to be. And you've been rejecting him for years and years and years, and his rebellion has become more intense because you won't receive my purpose in your son to change you. And Peter, Lord, repented and broke and said, God, I'm sorry. What is it that you're trying to change in me through my son being the way he is? And when Peter Lord received the disciplining of the Lord, within no time, his son was transformed and is now a preacher. Moab is my washpot. See, God brought the very wife that you have into your life because he knew that no other woman could bring about the image of God in your life except her. And listen, wives, God gave you the very husband that he gave to you because from all of eternity, he knew. Now, don't say, well, hang on, Brother John. I was not a Christian when I married my wife. So, I mean, that God didn't have anything to do with my marriage. Grow up. Have you ever heard of the sovereign God who does whatever he pleases? Do you think you made that choice on your own? Wake up. God had it all designed from all of eternity. Yet we say, well, I wasn't a Christian then, so I don't think she's the right one for me. I mean, I'm just set for the rest of my life for misery because I married this woman out of God's will. Listen, once you've entered into a covenant union, it's God's will. Doesn't matter who it's with. Joshua learned that the hard way. He made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And then Saul broke the covenant. And as a result of a broken covenant, even that contradicted God's will, but Joshua had made a covenant, because Saul broke the covenant, famine came on the land of Israel in David's day, and David sought the Lord after 3 years of famine and said, God, what's going on? And God said, because Saul broke the covenant and killed the Gibeonites. And Joshua had made a covenant with the Gibeonites. It was contrary to my will, but he made a covenant, and a covenant that is made in my name is binding. So you might have made the covenant before you were a child of God to to the wife that you're married to, but since you've made it, let me tell you what, it's God's will. And God's going to release the dynamic of His image in your covenant union. So quit thinking, boy, if only I could have a different wife. You've got her, folks. You've got Him. And I tell you what, God foreknew from all of eternity that you would marry her or marry him. And His plan hasn't been altered one little bit by your choice. So let's settle that and not even quibble about that. She's the one God's going to use. Okay? He's the one God's going to use. And those kids in your home are the ones God's going to use. Even although they were an accident, they weren't an accident. They didn't just happen. Oh, God implanted that life within your womb. That's not an accident. See, and if only we quit all the rejection. What produced rejection in Adam? Sin. I mean, he received Eve until sin came in. And then when God comes knocking on his door and says, Adam, where are you? Remember what Adam said? The woman you gave me. God could have said, hey, Adam, you received her. You said this is it. What's gone wrong? What had gone wrong is this, that sin brings about the rejection. Sin brings about the rejection. It says, Lord, the woman you gave me. I mean, God, you're responsible for this mess. If you'd have given me somebody else, the woman you gave. Do you hear it? Rejection, my brother and sister, is sin. It is sin. It doesn't matter how wrong your kid is. To reject that child is sin. You're rejecting Jesus. You're rejecting Jesus. And you need to repent of that rejection. It doesn't matter what your husband or your wife has done. Now that might sound real hard. But to reject them is to reject Jesus. Because through what is going on, God is working out the transformation to bring you into His image. If only we could believe that and stand on that. And instead of speaking all of the negative stuff and bringing curses upon us, start to bless one another out of that revelation. Like I said to you, we'd been married about 5 years. And I was driving on vacation from Zimbabwe to down to Natal. And I listened to a tape of Jack Taylor's on receiving, and it just blew me away, because I came to recognize that I had never received Beth. Never. Always in the back of my mind, even when I made my marriage vows, was the whole thought, boy, if only I can get you away from your family, then everything will be alright. Boy, we'll sort all this lot out. But I'd never received her. And when we got to where we were going on vacation, we were staying in a holiday apartment down on one of the premier holiday resorts in South Africa. I knelt at my bedside one morning and I said, God, I apologize for having rejected Bev. I repent of my rejection toward her, of trying to change her into my image. And I said, God, I unconditionally receive Bev as your very best gift to me, to help me to change and become all that you want me to be. It was some time afterwards that Bev was listening to that tape, riding along in the car back in Zimbabwe. And riding along in the car, the Holy Spirit dealt with her, and she came to the same commitment. I want you to know, miracles began to take place in our relationship. Because the very things that we had rejected in each other became the very means that God began to use to mold us and change us. And I want to tell you a little secret. When I received her, she changed after God had blessed me through those things in her life. You want to get somebody to change? Receive them. God will use what it is in them that is irking you to change your attitude and your spirit, and you are going to be so happy with those people. I can't tell you how powerful this is. Here's an illustration. I'm going to tell you about Anita Snow. Anita Snow is a lady in our church back home in Euless. Anita Snow is very vocal in her worship and in her love for Jesus. She used to offend me. I mean, I'd hear in the back, Brother Doug would preach, "Amen! Amen!" In a high-pitched voice, "Amen! Amen!" Everyone look around, you know, who's this woman? You know, Anita Snow offended me. And then the Holy Spirit one day got a hold of me and spoke to me and said, "You receive her." And I did in prayer one day. I just said, "Lord, I receive Anita Snow. She's my sister, and I'm sorry that I've rejected her. I receive her." I want to tell you something now. I miss Anita Snow when I'm not around her. God had to deal with Bev in the same way. Bev went to Anita, and in Bev's forthright way, she says, "Anita, you know, you've bugged me. I was offended by you." And she said, "Yeah, I have that effect upon people." But Bev said to her, "I love you and I receive you." And Anita said, "The Lord told me that I was his cheerleader in this church." Boy, I like her. I want to be with her in the cheerleading section for Jesus. I don't want to be offended by her. The Lord put her there to show up all the religious spirits in all of us that are quite happy to scream at a football game but won't shout for joy in worship of our King. Well, you start receiving them and you watch, you'll change. And all of a sudden they won't offend you anymore. You'll just love them. That's good. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. When I receive, I can then receive the blessing of the covenant relationship that I am in with that person. And when I've received the blessing, then God can do the changing in them if they really need to change. And don't make it conditional. Say, "Okay, God, if I receive them, I expect you to do some changing." I mean, they might not need changing. It might just be your attitude that needs a whole bunch of changing. The miracle of receiving. The miracle of receiving. See, I tell you, the problem is this. Until you will receive those who are around you in the image of God, you really are not going to be able to receive God himself. Because God comes to minister to you through those that he's put in the body with you. And isn't it sad that as soon as we discover somebody who upsets us and we can't get along with, we just resign that church and go somewhere else? And we miss the transformation that God wanted to accomplish within us? See, I've discovered that the whole key word in the Christian life is the word receive. There's a beautiful illustration of this in Mark's Gospel. You'll remember the mothers brought their little children to Jesus for Jesus to bless them. That just, referring back to our last session, that says something about the blessing. The mothers just wanted Jesus to speak a word of blessing over them, and Jesus was happy to do that. But the disciples got upset. The big people got upset and said, "Hey, Jesus is not interested in little kids. I mean, this is a big person's world." Oh no, it isn't. And so the disciples chase the mothers away, and Jesus gets indignant and he says, "You let the little children come to me and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." And then he says this, listen to this: "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." And then he demonstrates the kingdom. Because the Bible says, "And taking them in his arms, he blessed them, laying his hands upon them." See, the disciples said, "Reject them. They're not the kind of people we want in our show. Just get rid of them." And Jesus said, "Whoa, you don't understand. You don't understand. If you reject those children, you're rejecting the kingdom of God. If you will receive those children, you're receiving the kingdom. Now let me show you how little children receive the kingdom." And he reached out his arms to them, and they let him embrace them. And they let him touch them. It's says he laid his hands on them. I mean, the Bible, another place of trans, he touched them. I mean, they didn't mind Jesus touching them. I mean, we just want to stay aloof and say, well, don't get too close to me. And God says, I'm sorry, that's where the kingdom is coming to you through. I'm going to let the kingdom be manifest in you through the very ones that you tend to reject. The children. And Jesus takes them in his arms. You know what? When I saw that truth a few months ago, I said, oh Lord God, I want to learn how to be a little child and jump up in Jesus' lap and let him hold his arms around me and just touch me and bless me. And I want to learn to do that to people. I don't want to reject people, because in rejecting people, I'm rejecting Jesus and I'm rejecting the kingdom. I'm saying, oh, stay over there. And Jesus said, no, let them come. Let them in. Is there someone you've been rejecting? Maybe a child? You've been saying, oh, if God would only change this child, we could have a happy family. God's saying, if only you'd let me change you through that child, you really would have a happy family, because it'll be built on love and not rejection. Can I tell you a little secret? Nobody changes in an atmosphere of rejection. You'll produce one of two things through rejection: hypocrisy or rebellion. But never true inner change. You'll produce those who are hypocritical, outward behavior that conforms to your expectations, but a heart like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son that we're going to look at tomorrow, who had just as much immorality in his heart as his younger brother, except he was so legalistic that he wouldn't express it outwardly, but it was in his heart. You either produce a hypocrite or you produce a rebel. I like rebels better. They're more honest. They're saying, if you won't accept me as I am, blow you. God never designed for your kids to only be accepted when they measured up to your expectations. He said, if you'll receive one of these children in my name, you receive me. Woo! He said, whoa, Brother John, but Ephesians chapter 6 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It says you bring them up. Yeah, but it's whose nurture and whose admonition? Yours or the Lord's? How do you bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Receive them and watch God nourish them and admonish them. It works. It flat works. It works, because when you receive, you are releasing that grace. You're forgiving them. You're saying, it doesn't matter the way you are, I'm going to receive you. I'm just going to be gracious to you as God has been gracious to me. And you release the grace of God to begin to transform them. And down the road you say, my word, God did it without me. He's pretty good. Receiving. If you reject, there'll be rebellion. Or there'll be hypocritic change. But only grace can work inward change. Only grace. By the works of the law shall no man living be justified. And I can say it as well, by the works of the law shall no man living be sanctified. Law cannot produce the fruit of grace. Only grace can. Well, I think we're about ready to apply this word. And that is this. You've been rejecting. Let me ask you this in another way. Have you ever come to the point of unconditionally receiving your husband or your wife as God's best gift to you, to help you to change and become all that He wants you to be? I'll tell you how you can tell if you've accepted or not. By your prayers. What do you ask God to do for your husband or your wife? If your prayers revolve around, oh Lord, make him more spiritual, or make him do this, or change him in this, you're betraying the fact that you've never received him. Because if you've received him, you'll be, thank you, Lord, for him. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you, Lord. She's wonderful. See, when you've received, it takes away all necessity to judge. It takes away all of that spirit of criticism within that is looking for everything that's wrong to take up to the throne and say, hey, now, God, have you overlooked the fact that there's something that needs to be changed in my life? You better do work on this. And in our conversation with one another, as we talk, well, yeah, he's a fine man, but... Hey, wives, Bev spoke to you about that yesterday. Honoring him, respecting him. And so often, we focus in on the negative. And we curse the very ones that God has given to us to bring his image in our lives. And then we wonder why the church is not growing. And why our kids are just being sucked into the world system because they're not seeing the reality of love. There's so much rejection and performance standard. You measure up to what I say or else. No receiving. Have you received her, husband? Have you received him? What? Answer that question before the Lord. Have you really received your spouse? What about your children? Have you received them? All right, let's come into the church. What about your pastor? Brother Philip has left you, so I can speak. Have you received him? Or you're saying, well, God, he's a fine man, but... I mean, you know, Lord, I wish he'd do this. Oh, God, change my preacher. God says, forget it. I'm going to change you first. When you'll receive him as the shepherd that I have placed in your life, you will receive the benefit of who he is, and then I'll change him. But I will never change him on the basis of your rejection. Lord, change our church. God says, will you receive my body? I love them. I died for them. As immature as some of them are, as bound and deceived as some of them are, they're my children. In rejecting them, you're rejecting me. Will you receive them and allow me to do in you what I want to do through those whom I have placed in the body? I chose who the family members are. Now, if you don't like the choice, you've got a problem. Because we're a forever family. Isn't that a problem? Isn't a problem? Man, some of us... Race, trick, Baptist, we're going to get to heaven and find God put me right next to a Pentecostal brother from down the road. God's got a sense of humor. Man, if only we could receive one another and receive from one another. Now, I think the Holy Spirit has done enough tempering right down in our hearts, right? And he's just been saying a few things. And what I want to do is I want to just lead us in a time of receiving. I really believe miracles could take place in our marriages and in our homes and in our church. And in our situation, whatever it is, your work situation, if we would receive. Believing that God is sovereign, that nothing in this world happens by chance. But according to Romans 8:28, all things do work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? To be conformed to the image of his Son. I have a surprise for you, husband. You will not be conformed to the image of his Son without your wife. And wife, you won't be conformed without your husband. And since God is also a Father and Jesus is called the Everlasting Father, you're not going to be conformed to the image of God without your children. Oh, my soul. Boy, they're there. And God is working a beautiful purpose. So let's just bow in His presence. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your ministry right now in our hearts. Thank You for Your voice. Lord, I recognize that fear comes up at a point like this. I can remember how afraid I was, because I was so afraid that if I did receive Bev, she would never change. And Lord, I suspect that there's fear in many hearts, in wives that are saying, but I don't want to unconditionally receive my husband, he might never change. I don't want to unconditionally receive my children, they might never change. In the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I rebuke that spirit of fear and the spirit of rejection off of us, the people of God, in Jesus' name. You leave. Holy Spirit, now bring us to that place where we can receive. We want to identify the fact that we are born again children of God, that we have His nature and character implanted within us by that seed of the Word by which we were birthed into His family. We confess that we have the Holy Spirit living within us to enable us to walk in all the will of the Father and conform to His divine purpose in our lives. We will not confess that we are unable to do what You are calling us to do. That is a lie. We can receive, Lord. We can be merciful, even as our Heavenly Father is merciful. We can express His nature of being gracious, because we are born with that same nature by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who has brought us to the new birth. And so we do not receive the lie of the enemy that we cannot receive. We cannot forgive. We can. Lord, we want to start with forgiveness. We forgive our husbands or our wives for the hurt that they have caused us and for not measuring up to our expectations, for failing to fulfill their promises to change, for what You have assessed as his shortcomings or her shortcomings, their failure to measure up to Your expectations. Release them from that prison. Release your children. Just before God, say, God, I forgive my daughter for the shame that she brought to Me by falling pregnant, for not being the good girl that I raised her to be. I forgive my son for his rebellious ways, for not measuring up to my expectations. I release him from the prison of condemnation and judgment because he hasn't made good, because he's failed. I think many of you need to identify that really your judgment of your children as having failed the Lord is really, you're saying in effect, you failed Me. Because I want to tell you something, the Lord's gracious, He'll forgive. We hold it. God's so full of compassion and mercy and love that if we'd only release our children, God would just overtake them with His love. God would just saturate them with His grace and transform them by His power so quickly, because He's so quick to forgive if we would release them. Will you just release, forgive? Right. Then let's receive. And husbands, in your heart, I would love for you to make the statement. You mean it before the Lord. Just say this, Oh God, in your heart, not out loud, I receive my wife unconditionally as your best gift to me, to help me to change and become all that you want me to be. Wife, will you say that concerning your husband? Oh God, I receive my husband unconditionally as your best gift to me, to help me to change and become all that you want me to be. Now, some of you need to say that about your parents. You've had so much rejection toward your parents because of the way they are to you. You need to receive them. And if you need to do that, just do it before the Lord. Just say, oh God, I receive my mom, dad, or parents as your best gift to me, to help me to change and become what you want me to be. And then parents, our children. Maybe just one of the children has been such a disappointment, or a couple, or all of them. Let's release them. Will you say this in your heart with me? Oh God, I receive my child, my son, my daughter, or my children, name their names, unconditionally as your very best gifts to me, to help me to change and become all that you want me to be. Will you say that about the Church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ at Southside, the pastor, the ministerial staff? Will you receive them as a gift from God? Remember, Jesus said, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Let's do it together. Oh God, I receive the body of Christ, its leadership and its membership, as your best gift to me, to help me to change and become all that you want me to be. Boy, there's such a release in receiving. The Lord just really spoke in my spirit and said that some of you have rejected Him. You've rejected a God who you've judged as being tardy in fulfilling His promises, insensitive to your hurts, in not coming to comfort you. You've judged Him, His purposes, what He's working out in your life. You've often wondered in your heart whether He really cares. And a barrier has come up in your relationship with Him because a suspicion has been built up against Him through the rejection of His ways and His purposes. You've questioned His love by the kind of situations you found yourself in. And He said, I just hear Him saying, I want my people to receive me, to be in them all that I want to be. But I can only be in them if they'll open up to me and receive me unconditionally, just as I am. I am Lord, But I want, as Lord, to function freely in their lives. And I want them to trust me that I'm doing it always for good. If you've had a problem with God, won't you just speak with me, receiving God. Oh God, I receive you unconditionally as my God to work in my life all that you please. I trust you that your purposes are good, that the end of your ways is always perfect, that you are all wise and will always work in loving wisdom to transform me into your image. I submit to your Lordship. I receive you as Father. I receive you, Jesus, as my older brother. I receive you, Holy Spirit, as my guide and my comforter, my companion. I receive you, God. Some of you just realize that you got saved without really receiving God. Just like you got married without receiving your wife. You've had a God of your own imagination, and how you've always had an opinion how God should act. And when He hasn't acted according to your expectations, you've just got a little bit upset with Him. You cannot believe the transformation that will come in your life when you finally submit to His Lordship and allow Him to be God in your life. Because you'll discover that He always works for your blessing and your good, and it's always joyous. Praise you, Lord. We worship you. We bless you. Lord, I ask now for the anointing of your Spirit on each one of us. The anointing of courage to go to those whom we have received in your presence and express that release and that reception that we have spoken before you. I come against all intimidation, all self-consciousness, all pride, all fear that would keep us from following through with what we have spoken in your presence and going to our wives, going to our husbands, going to our children, to our parents, to the members of the body of Christ, and receiving them unconditionally, just as they are, as your best gift to us. And oh God, I praise you for the miracles that are going to take place. I thank you for the power of grace that is going to be released in marriages and in families. Lord, you're going to be free now to move and transform and change us into the image of God, and then change those who you've brought into our lives to be the means of working that change, and then you'll transform them as well. Oh, I bless you, Lord God, that in this atmosphere of submission and receiving, we are going to see miracles of your grace and your power for your glory. Bless your holy name. We worship you. We magnify you. We adore you. Thank you for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us to abide with us forever, who is here to commune with us. Holy Spirit, we receive you to teach us how to walk in receptiveness, how to walk in submission, opening up and receiving from you. Holy Spirit, come and anoint us. This morning I read in my quiet time, Thou anointest my head with fresh oil. And I feel like the Lord just wants to come with a fresh anointing of His Spirit, a fresh infusion of His Spirit's life and power. He wants to come and anoint you with fresh oil, the fresh oil of His Spirit, to empower you for this incredibly wonderful blessing of marriage and parenting and being a member of the body of Christ. And so we ask You, Father, right now, anoint us with fresh oil. Come, Holy Spirit, and touch each one of us in a freshness, in a newness, in a re-energizing way. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. We receive You, Holy Spirit, unconditionally as God's best gift to us to help us to become all that You want us to be, and that's like Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit. We receive You. Come and do whatever work You want in us, making us the temple of God, a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. We yield to You. We submit to You. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of this message. You have been listening to the series Marriage Plus with John and Beverly Sheesby. If you would like more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com, or you may call us toll-free at 1-800-225-0245. God bless you, and thank you for listening.